You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison, and I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the wonderful ebook, Healing the Trauma of a Broken Heart, and our guest is author Dr. Rajiv Party. Welcome back, Dr. Raj. You are awesome and amazing. We had a wonderful conversation the last time you were here.
Well, I'm so grateful to be back.
And and you had such, it was a wonderful conversation. So I want to encourage people to really listen to that interview. But during that interview, you talked about your near-death experience. And if you would just briefly share a little bit about that to our audience who may not know about your amazing experience.
Oh, yeah. It happened during emergency surgery in December of 2010. When I was very seriously ill, going into septic shock, because the doctors had implanted a device in me and it got infected. And 20 minutes in surgery, I saw myself floating over my body. And I could hear the conversation. I could see what was happening, what the surgeon was saying. And I even remembered a joke the anesthesiologist said, which I verified with him. And from there, I went to different realms. And one of the first realm I went was a hellish realm. And I was in the periphery. I could hear the souls wailing and crying. And there was thunderstorm and fire. And I asked for help. And who showed up to help me was my father, who had passed away about 30 years ago. And I had a very difficult relationship with him. And that's when I understood the power of forgiveness and realizing that he did love me, and only he could not express it. He was actually 18 years old when Pakistan and India came into being, and there was mass genocide based on religion on both sides of the border, the new border. And my family, being a Hindu, was stuck on the Muslim side. So in his family, there were a few people killed. So he had to come to India lying among dead bodies. So he was traumatized. But he took his anger on me. He lived his life through me because he could not become what he wanted in his life. So he wanted me to become something in life. But it boiled down to almost abusive behavior. And then he gave me some words of advice, which were in Hindi, the Indian language, but roughly translating into English, it was, if my son, if you keep your heart pure, the God, the divine, will take care of you. And then I really realized how much he loved me. And from there, he led me to a tunnel. And in the tunnel, first I had a 360-degree review of my present life, like how I had behaved with other people, and I could feel what they were feeling, good or bad. If I was nice, how good they felt, and if I was bad, especially to the patients, I was always in a rush. I was leading a very materialistic life. I wanted to get ahead in life, get big expensive cars, big house, expensive vacations. You know, like my American dream, I originally came from India in 1982, had become a runway American dream. So I wanted to show my success.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it was keeping up with the Joneses. because all my friends were doctors and they were in the same rat race. And from there in the tunnel, amazingly, I had two experiences of past life. And one of the past lives, I was a cruel prince in medieval Europe. And I was whipping the poor farmers. I still remember them wearing brown tattered clothes. And my soldiers were doing the same. And I asked forgiveness, and they forgave me. And in this life, I used to have pain in my right wrist. I had three surgeries in my right wrist. And when I woke up, the pain went away.
Wow.
And I asked Dr. Moody, who coined the word near-death experience, how is it possible to go and ask forgiveness from past? And his explanation was, in the other realm, there is no time and space, past, present, future, exist at the same time. So it's never too late to ask for forgiveness, whether it was in past, present, you know.
And healing, and that's interesting because you were a medical, and you still are, a medical doctor here in the physical world, but you learned about a much deeper healing, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Deeper healing, healing of the soul. And then another life I remembered, I was a poppy farmer in Afghanistan, and I used to sell opium to the poor farmers and, you know, anybody who would pay the money. So this all continued for some time. And then on the other side of the tunnel, I was greeted by two angels, Michael and Raphael. And being a Hindu, I was not familiar with them. I knew they were angels, but who is Michael, who is Raphael, I really didn't know. But I realized Michael is the angel of strength and power, and he's the head angel. And Raphael made total sense to me because he's a patron saint or angel for doctors and for healers, and he helps people heal. And the funny thing is, I told this to my wife, and my wife asked me, what happened to the thousands of Hindu god and goddesses? None of them showed up. I don't know why this is what happened.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing story, and people can go to your website and really get the book, drraj.com, because that's actually gives very, it goes into great detail about your experiences, which was just so amazing and so heartfelt. And
The name of the book when it was published was Dying to Wake Up, because I died almost and I woke up. The name of the book was Dying to Wake Up, and it has a separate website, dyingtowakeup.com.
Right. So people really should read the book, because it's just, you really have to read the experience to, I think, to really take it all in. And it was just amazing just reading what you went through, you know, during that experience. Now, your current book, which is The Trauma, Healing the Trauma of a Broken Heart. Now, in this book, you say that we have two hearts, one that is physical and one that is emotional. And if you would, just if you could elaborate on the two hearts, and as a physician with a deep knowledge of the physical heart, doctor, when did you recognize and understand the importance of the emotional heart?
You know, to be honest with you, about now it is three and a half. I was a different person when I woke up. Like before surgery, I was, before the physical near-death experience, I was Raj 1.0. When I woke up, I was Raj 2.0, and I was not the man my wife married. And in the beginning, the marriage improved, but And later on, with my traveling and everything, my marriage went down. And 3.5 years later, my wife suddenly says, I don't love you, and I have not loved you for 2 years. And I started having chest pains. And I got cardiac angiogram done. I got stress test done. I got every possible test done to see my physical heart was fine. And it was fine, but I was still having chest pains. Then I realized the chest pain is not coming from my physical heart. Every test is negative, but it's coming from the trauma to my emotional or spiritual heart.
But a question, though, if you're having pains in your heart and they are emotional, can it eventually become physical?
Oh, yeah. A real heart attack, you know, people die from emotional shock.
Yeah. And even when their heart is fine, it's possible?
Yeah, it is possible.
Right.
So the prudent thing to do is to, you know, get the physical heart checked. But right. My chest pains were coming from the emotional heart or the spirit heart, because my soul was wounded. You know, when my wife said suddenly she has not loved me for 2 years, it was like somebody put a dagger in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, even just thinking of that brings those memories back.
So then you would say that the physical and the emotional hearts are very much connected, or pretty much one, right?
I would say they're very well connected, and they both affect each other. Like mind affects the body and spirit, and similarly, there are three parts, you know, mind, body, and spirit. They all are connected, and they all affect each other.
Yeah. Now, if I may, I wanted to read a part of your book. It's page 2, actually, and it's heart. And you say, when your heart is healthy, your emotional life is healthy too. When those you love return your love, this is one of the great joys of life. That's especially true when the one you love is a significant other, a spouse, partner, or sweetheart. When you place your trust in your significant other and he or she honors that trust and also places their own trust in you, life tends to go well. And that's true even if you, as a couple, must deal with various problems. That's because your mutual love creates a solid emotional basis for the life you share. The world may sometimes throw you a curveball, but you are a team. You are in it together, come hell or high water. Your heart is strong, so the core of your emotional life is sound. And that gives you great strength to deal with whatever problems arise. But of course, as most of us have learned, the meeting of two hearts that beat as one doesn't always occur as we want it to. Even when a relationship starts out healthy and promising, even if it seemed to be healthy for years, things may change. The sharing, the trust, the camaraderie, the sense that you are in it together may disappear. And if that occurs, your heart, so essential to your emotional well-being, can be terribly hurt. Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to me. You know, like, I trusted my wife so much and her love that sun can rise from west, but thinking that my love with my wife will disappear one day, that these words, I don't love you anymore, were just not a possibility.
Yeah. So if you can just...
I thought everything was fine, yeah.
Yeah, you thought everything was fine. So what happens? You know, what happened or what happens to the heart when a relationship turns sour for whatever reason? Just if you could explain the trauma of a broken heart?
You know, the heart hurts, and people go to soothe their heart. They go into self-medication. They try to, so many times when their heart is broken, they go into seeking guru. They go to India seeking peace or looking for help, or they go to psychologists, and they're just lost, emotionally lost, and they're looking for answers, why? And that why never is answered. And then it affects their physical life, affects their emotional life, affects their even professional life, but they're not interested in the work. So all lives are affected.
Yeah. Now you say that staying low is not a viable option, and that you must get up and engage with the new world you find yourself in. To get stronger, that you must start by taking small steps that will start the healing process for your bruised or broken heart. I mean, there are people that feel mm-hmm. so broken that they mm-hmm. say, I just can't really live. I mean, I'm here physically, but I just don't know how I'll make it. So what do you say to someone?
You know, it's just like somebody died, you know, like sometimes it is worse than somebody dying, because in dying there is a closure, and here the other person is alive and who betrayed you, or whatever reason the heart broke. And you have to go through different stages, you know, you have to go from anger, you have to go resolution, and then you have to fight those emotions of revenge and asking for why. We have to go through stages of grief, but then grief should give way to self-help and taking physical activities. And what I found out was, start with basic physical activities, start with small emotion, force yourself to go for lunch with your friends, you know, and start with normal activities, and then they help. Start with meditation also, connecting to your soul. These small, you don't have to take a big step. Small steps help to get out of that despair. And there is actually, if you Google it, there's a medical syndrome, broken heart syndrome.
Wow. Really?
It's a medical syndrome. Yeah?
Wow, broken heart syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because sometimes people dismiss that when someone says, my heart is broken because I've lost, you know, I've broken up with my mate. And some mm-hmm. people say, oh, you'll get over it. But it can take a while, and sometimes it's not that easy.
Yeah, it can take a while. It's not that easy. That's what I'm saying. One has to literally push and let the people who want to help you, let them help you in your friends and family, because you got to feel loved, you know?
Yeah. You say that there are three essential aspects of your day-to-day life that may need special attention when you are dealing with a bruised or broken heart: the physical, emotional, and social aspects. So,
mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
Physically, you go for a simple walk in nature. It is so soothing. It's so helpful. You know, gradually you can go for a bigger thing like gym and cardiovascular activity, because they have shown in medical studies, people who, you know, people go in depression. If they divided group into two, one was given... One was given Prozac, and one was given Prozac is antidepressant medication, and one was given physical exercise to do. And people who were given physical exercise after 3 months were much better and continued to remain better. And so physical exercise in a way is antidepressant. And apart from the benefits of physical exercise, just start with baby step, 5-minute walks, 10-minute walks, especially in nature.
Yes.
And I went through that process. You know, it took me, it was not overnight healing the heart. It took me a year and a half. And my story doesn't end there. You know, for 2 years, I didn't know what was going on. And my wife was nasty to me. And I really didn't know what was going on. And it is public knowledge now. And actually, I found out from a random text, she was having an affair with my best friend.
Mm.
I really felt like my heart was chopped up. You know, previously, I felt a dagger went through my heart, but now I felt my heart was chopped up and thrown on the road.
Yeah. So how did you deal with it? So you walked, you exercised, and
you pray.
You pray. But you what meditate. About yeah, and you meditate. And what about your wife? Because you're back with her, correct?
Well, you know, to be honest, now I've been married for 33 years. I really would tell them, touching wood, I do not desire anything more in my relationship right now. We are literally, it's 1.5 years now, we're teenagers in love.
Wow, that's amazing how you were able to go from pretty much all breaking up to being back together and happier than ever.
That is so true. You know, because marriage had become very toxic, and I realized my part in the thing too, and the biggest thing from my near-death experience was the power of love and forgiveness. Because when I was in presence of light, when the angels took me towards the light, all I felt was the only real truth was love. You know, it's not just physical love, not just spousal love, but all that exists is love. So two things I practiced from my near-death experience was love, supremacy, and forgiveness.
Now, did your marriage get better after your near-death experience?
It temporarily got better. But the divorce rate of people who had near-death experience is almost double the divorce rate of people who don't have near-death experience. Because the person is not the same, the person they married. Like Eben Alexander is also divorced, even the one who neurosurgeon who wrote The Proof of Heaven.
Yeah. You also talk about anger and how it's one of the most toxic emotions. And certainly that can hurt any relationship, right? If there's a lot of anger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anger, resentment, you know, like... It took time. It was not an overnight thing for me. I did work with the practice myself, and I did work with the relationship coach. You know, there's nothing wrong with seeking outside help, you know. But it's been so wonderful. You know, I really don't desire anything more. But the power of forgiveness and forgiveness is getting rid of anger. Like Buddha said, holding resentment or anger against somebody is like holding a burning coal in your hand and hoping to throw on the other person.
Yeah.
It's your hand that is getting burnt.
Now, you say that guilt can delay your healing as much as anger does as well.
Yeah, you know, guilt is anger turned inwards. And why did it happen? What was my role in it? Maybe I deserved it. All these feelings of guilt and shame come up. So one has to overcome them and realize that you are full and complete as you are, and you deserve better.
Hmm. Yeah, you have a quote in your book. It says, "You are the precise person you are, and that fact is wondrous."
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're whole as you are and complete.
Right.
You don't have to be anybody else. You know, you can always improve for your own sake, self-improvement. Like, as I told you, that Raj 1.0 was before my physical death experience, and Raj 2.0 was after the physical death experience, and now I'm Rosh 3.0 after the near-death experience of our marriage. We were literally in lawyer's office ready to sign the divorce papers.
Wow.
And then my wife, out of love, suddenly said, "You want to give it another try? I'm really, really sorry." I said, "At least I know you for so long. Why don't I?" We had our 30th anniversary 6 weeks later. I said, "I've been in love with you for 30 years, so why not complete 6 weeks more?" And from there, on the anniversary, the 12th of February, we burned the divorce papers, made a bonfire of it, and we have never looked back.
Wow.
Because she realized I was a different person, because I changed myself too. You know, like in a partnership, never try to change the other person. Like a tango dance or any dance, if you change yourself, the music changes, the dance changes.
Mm.
Yeah. And like in my, like before my marriage near death experience, mine was a more patriarchal, more hierarchical relationship with my wife. Like I am at the top, then is my wife, then are my kids. But now I call it a horizontal relationship where both are equal but different. I honor her wishes, I honor her and respect her, and I let her have full input in any decision.
Mm. So tell us, so how would you say heartbreak helps us to grow and develop?
You know, like people always talk about post-PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, but very few people talk about PTG, which is called post-traumatic growth.
Mm.
Some people grow from any trauma. They take charge of their life after the initial shock is over. You know, the people who go to war or have had faced heartbreak trauma, they have faced any other trauma, they literally grow from it. Because they take it as a challenge to see what lesson it taught them. Like somebody loses a child, they understand the power of love and humanity, and they dedicate their life to God. So people do different things from trauma, not just have PTSD.
You know, I find it amazing that you were actually there signing the divorce papers, and at that moment, you decided not to do that. So, let's talk about growing a relationship that can be saved.
You know, one thing was there when we were divorcing, also it was a very friendly divorce. In the sense, whatever my wife was asking, I was giving her. Whatever I was asking, I was giving her. We both wanted to kind of give each other more. So the deep love and understanding was already there. As I talk about in my book, you know, the heart-to-heart connection. You know, I cherished her, she cherished me. There was deep friendship, and we could build on that. Though it was only for 6 weeks, but the anger was still there. But to turn back, so we didn't say we're going to live together forever. That time we said, okay, let's complete 30 years. And that was only for 6 weeks experiment.
Now, you say that she said she didn't love you anymore, but do you think deep down she really did love you during the whole time? I mean, is it possible that she was maybe a bit confused, or maybe it was more anger because you were different more than it was a lack of love?
I think deep down she loved me, but she was conflicted and she was not receiving the love from me the way she expected. Though I loved her, but that's what I'm saying. Why I was able to forgive her and what relationship we have now is because I realized my part in it.
Oh.
Like I was not there for her. I was traveling so much, going for giving lectures, promoting my book, learning, going to Deepak Chopra and other conferences. that she felt lonely. So I could see from her side too.
I see.
So like, you know, what she did was not right. But if you see from the other's point of view, then you realize. And one more thing, you know, like in life, there is not just black and white. There's gray areas too.
Right.
Everything is not yes or no. You know, there's a third option.
Yeah. Now, you say that without honest, open communication, the chances of healing a relationship are virtually non-existent. You say that apologizing and forgiving are absolutely necessary, and recommitting to each other freely and deliberately is what you are working toward in your communication.
Exactly. The 6 weeks we decided to live together to as an experiment to complete the 30 years, that's when these are the things what I exactly did, and these are the things which she exactly did. So after that, we felt there was really no need for us to go our separate ways. We found fulfillment in each other. You know, one word which I would say is not just love between the couple, it is deep friendship, cherishing each other, fondness for each other. You want to be with the other person. You know, we still have fights. Every couple, every marriage has ups and downs. But as you read from my book, there has to be underlying foundation.
Right. So when you walked in to sign the divorce papers that day, you were certain walking in that your relationship was over, correct?
That is very true.
Yeah. But yet, it completely turned around.
I'm so thankful to God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both are very thankful to God now. And now, just to get away from that town, we moved to a different town from Bakersfield to Santa Cruz. And we have our dream house, you know, by the ocean, much 40 degrees cooler than Bakersfield. And all these good things happened because of what my wife did and what I did. It's a good thing, bad thing, who knows?
Right. Now, do you feel like you are closer now than you were even before the heartbreak?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We both experienced post-traumatic growth.
Ah.
Our relationship is now soul-to-soul deep connection. You know, like, I value her. I was not valuing her opinion. Like, previously I would say, oh, let's go for vacation, let's go to China. And we would go to China, you know. She won't question me, her kids won't question me. But now when I say, let's go to China, she would say, you know, China may be cold that time. Well, let's go to South America. It will be summer that time. You know, supposing we're going in the winter months. And I said, yeah, why don't we discuss it over the weekend, sit on our computers and do some research. And we'll take it from there.
So, same
situation, two different outcomes.
Yeah. So you share more.
Share and cherish.
Ah, share and cherish.
Yeah. And respect.
And respect.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, you give strategies for growth. And you talk about understand yourself, empower yourself, and then growth, identify positive new directions. If you could just explain that to us in a little bit more detail.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like a tango dance. You cannot change the other person, but if you change yourself, the other person automatically changes. Like in a dance, if you go left, then especially tango dance or ballroom dance, where the people are doing a close dance, they change. That's empowering ourselves, being positive in life, having a purpose in life, helping other people, being a nice human being, being kind. You know, like I practice something known as random acts of kindness. Every day do some random act of kindness. If not at all, I will just give a dollar of little money to Red Cross that day to continue with my practice, you know, just to continue with that habit and to have a purpose.
Yeah.
And, you know, fulfillment in life never comes from fulfilling our own goals. It comes from, I have experienced it too, materialistically. I had a BMW, Mercedes, Hummer, and big house, 10,000 square foot house. Did it give me fulfillment? No. I used to say, is the house owning me or I own the house? Because I was working so hard to make the payments. But now I live in a smaller house, and now I find fulfillment by giving and connecting to the spirit.
Ah, it's beautiful. What a wonderful transformation that is. And
yeah.
And it's interesting because now you also say that this is a time to reconsider your personal goals. And you talk about how you had all the things and you had, you know, successful career and you were making money and buying the huge house and the cars. But yet you weren't happy. So,
you know, it is said that in life there are six human needs. One, you need is certainty. Certainty is like you want to be certain that you will have roof over your head to sleep, a bed to sleep, and food on the table. But if on the other side, if everything becomes certain, then life becomes boring. So you need some uncertainty too, or variety. In other words, variety. And the third human need is significance. Everybody wants to be appreciated or for significant, you know, like what they do. And the fourth human need is love and connection. Every human being wants love and connection. You know, like it may be social media friends or which I don't believe are really true friends. Like, I believe still in the old friendship, going out, having a face-to-face lunch or dinner or walking on the beach together. You know, it's different from just a Facebook friend. So that's love and connection. And then there are two needs of the soul which lead to fulfillment, and they are growth and contribution. If you don't grow yourself, you don't empower yourself, don't have your purpose or vision in life, then you stagnate and wither away. And equally important is contribution. Connecting to something higher than yourself. Something, for some people it could be God, spirit, universe, and for some people it could be just high value. It could be environment, to save the environment, or some people it could be preventing sexual abuse to children or women, or something like that, that you where you give.
Yeah.
Without getting anything in return. They are called the needs of the soul.
Wow. You know, it's amazing how you're so willing to open your heart and share your story in, you know, the other book, Dying to Wake Up, and then in this current book. It's beautiful that you're so willing to share your experiences.
Yeah, actually, I'm working on a book, Dying to Love, based on what happened with me and my wife. You know, like, I may not discuss a fair part totally, but otherwise, you know, heartbreak I'll discuss fully.
Dying to Love. And when are you releasing that?
I'm still writing it, so maybe a year or 2 years away by the time it gets published.
Ah.
It could be a manual for happy living, you know, with partnership or marriage or any relationship.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But my marriage nearly died. You know, there was nothing left. We were going to sign the divorce papers. And we only reconciled for 6 weeks.
Wow. Only 6 weeks.
It's a fairy tale. It's a movie story.
That's beautiful.
So bottom line is love, care, and respect.
Love, care, and respect. Wow.
Yeah. Actually, you know, when we were reconciling, I did have a dinner with my wife that evening, and I asked, what do you want from me? And her three words in the order also were respect, care, and love. Love came number three. But first, she wanted to be respected for who she is. Second, she wanted to be cared for. And love came the third one.
Wow.
And that order was actually very significant. You know, everybody wants respect. As I said, one of the things is love, connection, and significance. To be respected and cared for who they are.
Right. And then love, truly loved. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you say that deep down, all of us are looking for love?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some people that say, you know, I just don't have his luck. I can't find that kind of love, true love. And what do you say to them?
You know, true love, I know, luck, it's not usually luck itself, but you have to prepare for that luck. Because I had changed myself. That's what transformed and changed everything. I was a different person, and my wife realized that. And that's when she fell in love with me again. Otherwise, we would have gone in separate ways after 6 weeks. And I practiced love and forgiveness, and I realized she had changed too. It was not just she changed or I forgave her, she forgave me too. It was a mutual thing. It was not somebody, otherwise it would be again hierarchical or me being on the upper side that I forgave her and I did this. No, she forgave me too for my shortcomings. And she showed love and respect. She showed respect, care, and love too. So it's mutual. You know, main thing is everything is mutual. This can never be, you know, like, I did this, I did that. We did it. Transformation is from I to we, or you.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
You know, and the main thing is, big things count, but more than big things, small things count. Little things count. You know, like, I don't know how to cook. Previously, my wife used to come home. She was tired. She had to move, make dinner and everything. But now, I go and get dinner from outside or take her out for dinner. And I'm learning cooking, too. You know, there's a service known as Blue Apron. They send you food and then recipe. So she feels scared. She feels valued. She feels cherished.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And she gives me the same return. Not that I'm asking for it, but, you know, she gives me the same thing. The main thing is respect. Respect as equal. Equal but different.
Mm. Wow. Respect as equal. So tell us about your website and your blog.
Yeah, like I have website drraj.com or the other URL is theheartbreakdoctor.com. And there people can contact me and set up a free appointment. Actually, my appointments I work on kind of donation basis, like pay forward. Like there's a kitchen known as Karma Kitchen in Bay Area, Berkeley, where when you go to eat, and they never charge you anything. They give you a zero bill, but with the condition, not condition, but they recommend somebody paid for your meal. So to keep the thing going, you pay forward whatever you want to. So I'm experimenting myself that I don't say you pay me $200 for the session or what. Pay me, I'll charge, the session is free. But to keep it going, the chain going, you can pay forward for the next person coming behind you, whatever you want to. I call it paying forward.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I want to see it. You know, how the Karma Kitchen is very successful. They opened up 10, 15 branches, and food is very good. So this is my experiment in giving. And so far, everybody has paid, you know.
Wow.
But you know, like, this is my experiment in giving.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you...
Life is to have fun, you know, and give and enjoy life. You know, like my mantra, personal mantra has become, life is not just existing, but to thrive and give back.
Yeah. That's beautiful. The universal law of giving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have anything to share with our audience that we haven't covered, and do you have any closing reflections?
My closing reflections would be the power of forgiveness and love. And the three words I said before, like what my wife asked for, respect, care, and love. You know, show that, so that shows that you really care and you cherish the other person. You're fond of other person. You want to spend time with the other person. You know, and ups and downs in marriage and any relationship is a normal thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess patience is always a good thing too, wouldn't you say?
No, patience is very important, yeah. You know, like, one thing is there previously in my marriage, before the reconciliation, we used to have like boxing rounds. You know, it would start with a small thing. You didn't take the garbage out. And after one round, then there will be second one, a bigger fight. And then third fight, a bigger fight than that. It was like it will go to the extent, fourth or fifth round. Why did I marry you? I should leave you. And it just would start with the garbage not taken out. You know, escalate. So now what we do is we keep it to the same point, what it is, and try our best not to escalate.
Ah.
We don't do rounds now.
Ah, that's good. Good advice. Don't let it escalate. Right. Yeah. And sometimes it's just, as the expression goes, nipping it in the bud, too. Sometimes just dealing with it right then and just not letting it fester, right? Which means you're letting something build, escalate, like you were saying. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you bring the whole, everything from 20 years ago or 30 years ago, your mother did this, or your mother did this, or your father did this, your mother did not do that, or, you know, bring everything, every give, anger you have with her or her family. That's not right. You know, it could be just a small thing. So do not escalate. And stick to the point. You know, when you're fighting, just fight about that, not bring everything in.
Ah, yeah. And how about, I guess, letting it go, too, which is really... I guess letting it go is like another term for forgiveness, I guess, you know?
Yeah, it is a kind of forgiveness, let it go. You know, and sometimes it's not worth fighting for. Okay, you know, I didn't take the garbage. Sorry, honey, I'm sorry. I'll make it a point to take it out on every Thursday. You know, when you are wrong, you kind of admit it and move on. So other person then lets it go too. You know, they don't want to escalate too. And also taking the circumstances other person is saying, maybe the other person really wants to connect. She had a very hard day at work, but that's the only way she is not expressing her need correctly, and she's taking it on you to express her need, that she wants to connect, she wants to be taken care of. you know. Yeah. So it's an art.
It's an art, and it takes practice. Right?
But it can be learned.
Yeah.
It can be learned.
Yeah.
You know, it can be learned. And one can have a really deep love and connection.
Well, that's beautiful.
And I'm a living proof. We are a living proof.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I so much appreciate your work.
I really enjoyed it, and I really appreciate you calling me back.
Yeah, so people should visit drraj.com. That's RAJ.com. They should also get your previous book, which is Dying to Wake Up. And so they can go to DyingToWakeUp.com. And then, of course, your current book is TheHeartbreakDoctor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they should look for your future book coming out in a couple of years or so, Dying to Love.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I learn so much from you. And I trust that the audience will learn so much as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye.
I would like to thank our guest, Dr. Rajiv Party, for being here to discuss his ebook, Healing the Trauma of a Broken Heart. For more information, please visit www.theheartbreakdoctor.com. You can also visit drraj.com, and that's drraj.com, or dyingtowakeup.com. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others, and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea with your host, Andrea Garrison.